You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
792697 U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
A series of wildfires in north-central Washington that left three firefighters dead has grown by more than 100 square miles, but officials hope easing winds forecast for Saturday will allow them to gain the upper hand. Fire officials say the Okanogan complex of fires was measured at 355 square miles Saturday, about 100 miles larger than on Friday. Thousands of people remain under evacuation orders. Washington Department of Natural Resources helicopter pilot Ken Johnson says dropping water or flame retardant on a fire can only do so much.
You know, with the boots on the ground, you know, what I put down on the ground will work. If I don't have any boots there and I'm just putting water down, slowing the fire down, eventually it'll come back. So boots on the ground would stop the fires.
Johnson says he's just waiting for the next chance to get up in the air.
Basically, we're ready to go. Right now, if we were called, we'd be airborne in 5 minutes, and you know, for initial attack or for resource to the fire.
Local resident Sue Baldwin says she and her son were clearing the roof of her real estate business to reduce the chances of it catching on fire.
Forest Service, at the last town meeting, asked the people of the town of Republic to clean up their roofs of any type of debris. And if you can, to put sprinklers out.
This is USA Headline News.
On today's program, I'll be talking about the Ashley Madison website hack, how to use Hootsuite for PR and online marketing, the number one color to avoid for your business plan or logo, the five mantras the successful entrepreneur share, and the best way to write a press release and handle the media for your business. It's Thursday, August 27th, 2015, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Taking Care of Business. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you, as I am every Thursday at this time, noon o'clock hour, and glad you could join us for another edition of Taking Care of Business. Before we get going, a brief check of the weather shows it is currently 72 gorgeous degrees. Get your butts out of the office and get outside and enjoy some of this beautiful New Jersey weather. Today, it'll be sunny with a high of about 80 degrees and a low of 55. Tomorrow, more the same. Abundant sunshine with a high of 80 degrees and a low of 57. For Saturday, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 86 and a low of 64. And for Sunday, it'll be very warm with a high of 89 and a low of 64 degrees. Current check of the financial market shows the Dow is up 278.26 to 16,563.77. The NASDAQ up 90.05 to 4787.12. S&P 500 up 36.70 to 1977.21. Oil up $2.82 to $41.42 per barrel. And gold is up 40 cents to $1,125 an ounce. Well, a construction update for Crown Trophy of Flemington. They finally got started, and this happened on Monday. So all we've been hearing in the other section of the store is jackhammers. and then, you know, shovels and bringing debris out to the dumpster. But they finally reached the pipes. They found where the breaks are. They sent the camera down. Today, they are in there with a miniature backhoe. It looks like such a cute little toy, but boy, does this thing have some power to it. So they are now excavating out this big, long trench. It's about 95 feet long, and they're in the process now of exposing all of the pipe. The building inspector came in. He said, all looks good. Continue working, which is always good to hear. And now the game plan is that they will clear that whole trench out tonight, or by the end of today, and then tomorrow night at 10 o'clock, put down the new pipe, do the backfill, get their inspections, and then we can start the rebuilding portion of Crown Trophy of Flemington. So looking definitely forward to getting into the new showroom. It'll be twice the size. This way we can showcase all of our products. You know, when we started 6 years ago, it was just a trophy store. So it was easy to fill a room 14 by 14 with trophies and things like that. And then we added varsity jackets, so that took up a little wall space. And then we added promotional items, and that took up a little space. Then we added the sign shop, the apparel shop. So much going on right now that we felt that definitely needed a bigger showroom. I'm going to get a little bit of a bigger office, and this way when you come to visit me and sit in the chairs across from my desk, your knees aren't jammed up against my desk because the back of the chair is against the wall. We're going to have a conference room with a computer screen mounted on the wall so that if we want to go interactive either with WebEx or something like that, as we're getting some large corporate accounts, and a lot of times we have to go and do you know, some WebEx seminars, we'll do that. And then the back offices will be fixed. New flooring. Everything should look great. We'll get it all painted up and hopefully be back up and running in the storefront by October 1st. Because right now it's a little confusing for the customers. But I assure you, Crown Trophy of Flemington, signs by Crown, Crown Custom Apparel is all open for business. Crazy day for me. Crazy couple of weeks for me coming up. Going to have surgery tomorrow on my arm and my hand. You know, had painted my hand and my arm for about the last 18 years. Doctors kept saying, you know, it's everything but what it actually was. Finally found a doctor in New York at the hospital for special surgery. So he has found that a nerve is pinched in my arm. Going to get that resolved, remove a tumor from my finger, get that resolved, and then hopefully be back in action in a few weeks and or months based on the surgery and the ensuing physical therapy. Last week, I must have said something because I got so many emails and tweets and text messages. And then I said it again last night. I was talking to my wife, and I said the same sentence last night, and she busted up laughing. Food was coming out of her nose and things like that. So I just want to make sure that we review it one more time. I mentioned that I had bought a new sign machine from a gentleman who was getting out of the business. We got a great deal on it. And it was obvious from our conversation that he didn't know much about running a business as it pertains to, and I think I made the comment last week, you have to set the expectations and then manage the expectations. And what he was asking about was, how do you get your staff to wear apparel with your company name on it? And I told him, I said, here's a couple of shirts. You wear these Monday through Friday. This is the, we want you to have, to be presenting our company in a good light. And he was complaining that some of his employees would cut off the sleeves and things like that. So that's not acceptable. This is the uniform. This is what we do. This is the image we're trying to portray. And then he asked me the question about, well, how do you manage, you know, facial hair? And I said, well, I really don't like it on my female employees. And he laughed and I laughed. My wife went nuts when she heard that last night. So I wanted to repeat that. And then obviously, you know, I told him, I said, we're not the New York Yankees. I can't dictate whether or not a person has a beard or a mustache or something. As long as it's neatly groomed, you know, I'm okay with it. So, you know, I just wanted to recap that in case I didn't mention it last night. You know, no facial hair on the women, on the female employees. Last Thursday, got off the air and then headed to North Carolina. Had to bring my son Colin to college at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. Then my wife and I traveled to Asheville, North Carolina to see the Biltmore Estate. I'm amazed when I see both the wealth and everything else that goes into that estate. It's the largest home in America, 254 rooms. I think there were 64 fireplaces, 45 bathrooms, the servants' quarters like you would see on Downton Abbey. Just a very impressive building, the gardens, the grounds, everything. We spent the whole day there, and it was very enjoyable. But when you're in the car that long, you tend to start you know, trying to do anything you can to, I don't know, amuse yourself, keep yourself awake or something like that. So I logged it out, and we traveled about 1,517 miles round trip, dropping him off, heading to Asheville, coming back up through Charlottesville, Virginia, and then home, about 1,517 miles. Now, as many of you know, I love watching and following presidential politics. And I did announce my candidacy here for president a few months ago, so because I figured what the hell, everybody else is doing it. But I found it interesting that already with 15 to 16 months to go before the general election, you can kind of see where the mood of the country is. And that is in the form of bumper stickers on the back of vehicles. So here's my informal Hundred in Chamber Radio political poll, political presidential candidate poll. So up until this morning, and I have to clarify that, up until this morning, here was the breakdown. Hillary Clinton, we saw one bumper sticker. Bernie Sanders had three bumper stickers. Donald Trump had four bumper stickers. Ben Carson, the neurosurgeon, retired neurosurgeon, six bumper stickers along our path through North Carolina, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Maryland, West Virginia, and New Jersey. So that's our informal poll. If the election were to be held today, based on those bumper stickers, Ben Carson would be your winner, with Donald Trump coming in second. But then, this just in, this morning I was traveling down Voorhees Corner Road on my way back from Hillsborough High School, and a woman in front of me had not one but two Hillary for 2016 bumper stickers. And I'm not sure how to count that, because it's one car but two stickers, you know, so we can give Hillary another nod, which would either bump her up to two or three bumper stickers. But what's interesting is the names. You know, Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Ben Carson. Those are your front runners right now. No Chris Christie's, no Rick Perry's. And Rick Perry's in trouble. He's already reorganized his Iowa campaign staff, which is pretty much the indication that if he doesn't do well in Iowa, he's out. So that will trim the field in the Republican side down to about 16. But you know, all of the other candidates, either they don't have these types of promotional materials out there already to their campaign staffs. People haven't either made their own or ordered them online or something like that. But right now, if you were to say crystal ball time, let's look forward a few months, who will still be in the running? The support right now would have to be leaning towards Ben Carson, Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, and Donald Trump. So why don't you do the same thing? As you're driving along over the next couple of days, take some time out and just look at the cars and see if you don't, you know, if your poll would match the same numbers that I have. Do it for like a week or two and see what happens, whether or not these names are the same names that you're coming up with. So very interesting to watch and see how many more political campaign stickers we'll see over the next few months. We're going to step away for a minute, take a first break of the afternoon. When we come back, we're going to talk about how the Ashley Madison website has been hacked and who is on it. We'll be right back.
Unionville Vineyards is the perfect destination for wine tastings and tours, corporate events, birthday parties, or your special day. Located in East Amwell, New Jersey, Unionville Vineyards offers an escape from the rush of daily life and a chance to relax in the beautiful countryside. Our tasting room is open 7 days a week, 12 to 5 p.m., excluding major holidays. For more information, contact us at unionvillevineyards.com or call us at 908-788-0400.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Yes, 40 years ago this week, that iconic album was released back in 1975. Bruce Springsteen was never happy with the final product and wanted to redo the entire album, but it was released and launched, and so was his career, and I'm certainly glad it did. It was also the youth national anthem of the state of New Jersey, Born to Run by Bruce Springsteen, so one of the iconic albums, and if you have that in your record library, consider yourself a good music fan, because that is just one of the best albums I think ever produced by a musical artist. So on Tuesday, it celebrated its 40th anniversary, and of course, the boss still rocking and rocking strong here in the state of New Jersey and elsewhere. Made an appearance at the Stone Pony not too long ago. Just sat in for a set with a local group. So all good. Bruce Springsteen and Born to Run. I feel like I'm back on the radio days in Clarksburg, West Virginia. This is WPQZ, and now Bruce Springsteen and Born to Run. All right, let's get back into the program. This is Taking Care of Business. I'm your host, Jim Gannot. The big news coming out of the last week or so was that the Ashley Madison website had been hacked. And I'm going to claim absolute ignorance here. I had no idea what an Ashley Madison website was. My wife, strangely enough, told me what it was. So apparently, the Ashley Madison website was a place where people, men and women, could go, I guess put profiles on there, and they were interested in having affairs with other people looking to have affairs. That says enough right there. But then it came out that there were 27 million subscribers to this website. So between, I think it's hosted in Canada, so between Canada and North America and wherever else this website is available, 27 million people are putting their profiles out there saying, I want to cheat on my wife, I want to cheat on my husband. So that was interesting enough. Right now, there have been two suicides in Canada that have been allegedly attributed to the release of this information. Now, the data collection identified a list of towns and the numbers of users in each community, but it did not reveal the name. So what we have now is the 100 top communities in New Jersey where people had gone on to the Ashley Madison website. I'm listening to my phone buzzing like crazy over here, and it's either people are saying, please don't talk about this, or they're like, hey, cool, nice story. So personal data from a hack of the Ashley Madison hookup website that promotes discreet dating encounters continues to leak. They're averaging about 10 million bits of information per day, and more information has become available and accessible to the public on the internet. And now New Jersey and many of its communities have found themselves in the crosshairs of that publicized information. One Reddit data collection identified New Jersey as the third highest on the list of states with the most unfaithful husbands and wives in the country, with more than 300,000 users, although the District of Columbia does come in higher. On the Reddit user list, Alabama was first, followed by Colorado, District of Columbia, New Jersey, and then Connecticut. Is this list plausible? I mean, Ridgewood, for example, has approximately 25,000 people, but the map says it has more than 60,000 Ashley Madison users. That means that approximately 24% of the town's residents have used the site. In a 2014 report, Psychology Today magazine said more than 90% of Americans believe that infidelity is unacceptable, and yet 30 to 40% of the people engage in it. Infidelity is associated with adverse outcomes such as depression, domestic violence, divorce, even homicide, according to the report. It is worth noting that a number of New Jersey towns don't have their own postal address and instead use a neighboring community's town name, such as Little Egg Harbor, which uses Tuckerton. The revelations go back more than a month when a group of hackers called the Impact Team broke into Ashley Madison's data, obtaining names and personal information, credit card information, sexual habits, likes and desires, and more. Now, some have targeted the hackers and the company, looking to punish them both for the data breach. The Canadian government, where Ashley Madison is located, said it is investigating two suicides possibly related to the hack, and some attorneys have also filed $578 million class action lawsuits against the company. Ashley Madison is offering a $500,000 reward for information leading to the capture of the people involved in the hack. Now, I went through the list last night, and here are the top 14 towns in New Jersey that have the most Ashley Madison users. Newark comes in at 26,965. Jersey City, 15,823. Trenton, 15,504. Somerset, down in Franklin in Somerset County, 7,240. Bridgewater, right here in Somerset County, 4,929 registered users. Livingston, 4,874. Montclair, 4,779. New Brunswick, 3,937. Parsippany, 3,410. Now, a little town like Flemington, you wouldn't expect to hit this list, but sure enough, it did. In Flemington, 2,395 users registered on the Ashley Madison website. Phillipsburg, 1,954. Basking Ridge, 1,476. Point Pleasant Beach, 1,475, and Scotch Plains comes in at 1,269. So, not sure whether or not you have been on Ashley Madison, but holy cow, could this be devastating to a lot of families. And what the folks, what economists in Canada are saying is that this could be huge for divorce attorneys and others, because it's going to have a significant economic impact as we go through, as many people go through divorces. And as you have to pay alimony, child support, and things like that, this could be very costly for many families. So what once was supposed to be a discreet site, suddenly not so discreet anymore. Well, I found a great website. I got an email one day saying, hey, you should check out this app called Hootsuite. And basically what this does is, if you want to promote your business or a message or a photo or something like that, instead of having to post it on Facebook, post it on LinkedIn, post it on Twitter, post it on Instagram, now you can do it all in one package by posting it to Hootsuite and then assigning your accounts on your Hootsuite account so that it goes to all of them with the click of one button. Now, a common challenge that many businesses face in social media marketing is both a lack of time and focus. Here's where Hootsuite can help. And it's H-O-O-T, like an owl, Hoot, that's their logo, and then Suite, S-U-I-T-E. Now, you can get more out of Twitter through streams and custom searches that are all available in Hootsuite's free version. By setting up streams within your Hootsuite dashboard, you can filter the mass of information on Twitter and get what you need quickly. Several streams should be standard: the home stream, which pulls the Twitter home feed, mention streams every time someone mentions your Twitter handle, messages inbox stream to show direct messages, and the retweet stream, which shows how many times your tweets have been retweeted. Custom streams enable you to monitor what people are saying about your brand when they don't use your Twitter handle, to spot potential customers and engage in relevant conversations, and to use Twitter as a PR tool. And you should employ the custom brand shirt stream. People might talk about my company, but I can keep track of that now, of that chatter, because it's similar to like a Google Alert. You know, it's going to let you know when people are talking about your business. So to set up a custom stream to monitor mentions of your brand, select Add Stream and choose Search in the tabs at the top. Select the profile you want to set up the stream for and enter your search query into the box. Your query should include search modifiers similar to those in advanced Google searches to specify when the results must include multiple phrases, could include different phrases. For example, you know, I've set up a custom brand search stream to show instances of people mentioning Crown Trophy of Flemington, and I've asked the stream to show variation on our brand name, Crown Trophy, Crown, Signs by Crown, etc. Now, I've included all these names when we started this on Hootsuite, as well as the name, my name, so that anything that comes through the business that mentions the business or me will come to me or directly. Now, you can also use the custom product or service search stream as well. And this stream searches for mentions of both your products, your services, helping you identify potential customers, people who are sharing opinions about your product or service, or those seeking advice about it. You can answer their questions directly or cultivate their business or do both. Now, one coffee shop's team set up a search for coffee and then their local area. In one successful incident, they identified a woman who had tweeted about her nightmare day and the need for a good coffee. They offered her a reserved seat and a free coffee to help her relax. Their generosity generated far more in PR than the coffee cost them, while exemplifying great social listening. That's what these streams are all about, being tuned into what your target audience and customers are saying so you can appeal to them in appropriate and valuable ways. It's all about generating new business and revenue. So optimize Hootsuite for public relations. You can use that as a PR tool thanks to an array of hashtags used by PR professionals and the availability of their Twitter handles. And you can find new PR opportunities with a hashtag search. Journalists use hashtags to identify commenters and contributors. Search industry-specific hashtags to find them. There are also more general hashtags used by journalists across all industries. Two common ones are hashtag PR request and hashtag journo request. Now, using the technique described that I just described, you can set up a custom stream to search for journo request or PR request. This will deliver journalist requests to your dashboard. You can always refine the stream. For example, a client rents out Holiday Colleges in Lake George, so he could say journal request or PR request or hashtag journal request or hashtag PR request and new Lake George and Holiday College or Holiday College and travel. Play with it a little bit, but get it set to the point where things are coming to you. And this will deliver opportunities. It'll contribute to relevant requests. And then you can follow local or industry specific topics as well. So by searching for their handles, you can see what they're tweeting about, engage the stories that might interest people, as well as seeing their requests for contributors or stories, and that's on the journalist side. You can tweet them directly if you have a story topic that you think they should cover. You can also use it for scheduling. Hootsuite enables you to schedule a tweet for a specific date and time and to use its auto-schedule feature, which determines when your audience is active and thus when the best times to tweet are. The scheduling tool within the tweet area would go something like this. You know, setting it up for Tuesday at 10 a.m., which they say is the best time to email, you know, do group emails or tweets. You know, but of course, with scheduling, it should be done with caution. An ill-timed tweet can sully your brand or your client's reputation. The key to Twitter's success lies in conversation. The danger with scheduling is that you become a broadcaster rather than a conversationalist. So check Twitter a couple times a day to respond when people contact or mention something relevant, and your news streams will make this much easier. Now, getting back to that scheduling, you know, for instance, if you were to say, if you were to schedule a tweet, let's say you owned a gun shop, for instance, and it was yesterday, and you say, gun sale today at, you know, 10 a.m. or 8 a.m. Now, if you're aware of the news yesterday down near Roanoke, a news reporter and her cameraman were both shot and killed by a former employee of the news station that they worked for. So if you were to, let's say you wrote this tweet and it was going to go out 3 weeks ago for this particular day, gun sale starts at 8 o'clock. How ill-timed would that be in light of the news that was going on? So always be careful of the timing of your messages. And then if you have something that's getting ready to go, but world events tell you this is really poor timing, then you have to pull it. It's currently 12:29. We're going to step away and take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the color that you should be avoiding, both in your business plans and logos. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. WDBJ held a moment of silence today to remember Allison Parker and Adam Ward, the two TV journalists shot dead yesterday by a former coworker during a live broadcast. Station manager Jeffrey Marks told Fox News the staff is doing their job while grieving.
My greatest concern is about the news team, and they're doing a marvelous job of holding it together, doing their regular broadcast, choking back some emotion, but doing what needs to be done.
Meanwhile, the woman who was interviewed during the shooting, Vicki Gardner, is recovering in the hospital.
I'm told she's doing better. They're prepared to go in and do some more repairs on her abdomen today.
That was Tim Gardner on NBC's Today Show. The killer, Vester Flanagan, posted a video of the killings online before he shot and killed himself. He issued an angry manifesto claiming discrimination and outrage over the June church shootings in Charleston. This is USA Headline News.
Do you have trouble remembering names or where you left your keys? Ever feel like you're just in a mental fog? Over 140 million Americans over 40 suffer age-related memory loss. That's because, as we age, our brains stop producing vital neuropeptides, making it harder to retain important information. In fact, by age 50, the average person has lost half their short-term memory capacity. That's why a team of neuroscientists created Cebria, a medical miracle shown in a double-blind clinical trial to dramatically improve short-term memory in just 30 days. Better memory and clarity can boost your career and help you enjoy time with your kids and grandkids. Call 800-413-8643 now to receive a full 30-day supply of Cebria risk-free. Dramatically improve your memory with Cebria. Just call 800-413-8643. That's 800-413-8643. 800-413-8643.
You lucky devil, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us. And by the way, I do want to mention we are the award-winning Huntington Chamber Radio. Received the President's Award from the Chamber of Commerce a few years ago. So a little feather in our cap there. Just want to also mention that I have reached out to Governor Christie's campaign staff and have invited him on the air. Not sure whether or not he will accept, but we did invite him on to talk about any issues that he wants to, since he is from New Jersey, keeping with broadcasting laws and rules. When you make that effort, then you have to also open the airwaves up to any other candidates running for a similar office. So we've invited Chris Christie. If he comes on, and then we'll probably have other candidates that are going to want to take advantage of this as well. So we'll see what happens. If you have any connections with the governor and can get him to stop by and talk to us for a time about his campaign, we'd be glad to have him. And then any other campaign or candidates that want to join us can do that as well. Checking the weather, currently 72, gorgeous. You have to get outside, get out of the office. Of course, wait until 1 o'clock when this show is over, but then get out of the office, take a deep breath in through the nostrils, and just enjoy this glorious day. What a beautiful day it is. Sunny with a high of 80 degrees expected and a low of 55. Last night, my wife and I were sitting out on the back porch. We had the fire pit going, stars out, moon out. Man, it was just, I didn't want to go inside. For tomorrow, more of the same, abundant sunshine with a high of 80 degrees and a low of 57. For Saturday, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 86 and a low of 64. And for Sunday, it'll be very warm with some sun and a high of 89 degrees and a low of 64. So glad you could join us here on Taking Care of Business. Well, if you know marketing, Let's back up for a minute. Let's not talk about marketing and advertising and PR for just a second. Think about products you have bought and think about what made you buy them. Was it the color of the box? Was it the ad campaign? Was it something you saw in their advertising? Was it a slick logo? What is it that made you buy that particular product? It could have been a friend's recommendation. Now, a couple of months ago, I did a great experiment. A friend of mine, and I've mentioned him several times on the show, Russ Zabrowski, designed beautiful book covers for my new book that's coming out later this year. And we had probably 10, 12 different designs that we started with. And what I would do is I would lay them all out on a table, and I would ask people, I want you to look at, without knowing what the story is about, I want you to look at the cover and tell me which cover was most appealing to you, and you would pick this off the shelf at Barnes & Noble and say, I want to take a look at this a little further and see whether or not this is a book that I want to purchase. What book cover would appeal to you visually so that if you were on a Kindle, you would click on that book, perhaps buy it, or at least read the first chapter and preview. So visually, a lot of times color makes a huge difference in our buying decisions. And the Pantone Institute issues the color of the year every year. And this year it's a color called Marsala, which is kind of a burgundy color. And you can always Google that if you want to. If you want to do that, Google the Pantone color, and you'll be able to look at all the colors for the last 10 or 15 years that have ever been selected. And you can kind of see how, through focus groups and other research and data that they use, colors kind of shape our mood, they shape our buying habits, etc. But there is one color that you should avoid, both in your business plan, when submitting that, say, to investors or a bank, and in logos. Now, we know that adding relevant photos to a business plan can be a big help to your proposal, since investors, like everybody, tend to make decisions based on first impressions. So here are some seemingly trivial factors that can go a long way to making a good impression. According to a new study, which is going to be published in the Journal of Business Venturing, having images of a product or prototype in your proposal made it more likely for investors to take positively to a business plan. The research was done by Dr. Richard Chan from Stony Brook University's College of Business and H. Dennis Park from Drexel University's LeBeau College of Business in Philadelphia, who conducted survey-based experiments and examined business plan competition. Another interesting discovery from the research showed that uses of the color red in logos or elsewhere in the business plan scared off investors. Quick investment choices rely partially on heuristics, mental shortcuts that help people arrive at decisions quickly. So when venture capitalists see a red image on a business plan, they negatively associate that with losses or errors and might not take a chance on the startup. The research also looks at whether a company's name or other unconscious biases affect investors' decisions toward a business plan. Can't wait to read that when it comes out later. I think it's next month that comes out in the Journal of Business Venturing. But it was interesting to note that the color red, and if you think of red, we usually associate that with like a stop sign or something like that. But that is the color to stay away from. Russ, you can feel free to chime in on that and whether or not your agency sees any indicators to that as well. Well, are there any mantras or ways that people act that make them more successful than someone else? And I do apologize for that hubbing. We're getting a little bit of vibration here in the building today. It somehow seems to be coming through the microphone, so I apologize for that. But there are five mantras that successful entrepreneurs share, and it goes without saying that starting your own business takes a lot of work. Roughly 50% of new U.S. businesses fail in the first 5 years, and it can be very intimidating and scary to start a business knowing there's no guarantee that it will work out. Now, over the years, I've had the privilege of working with businesses, startups, and other entrepreneurs at various stages of growth, and some of these businesses have gone on to great success, while others, unfortunately, not so much. But there are lessons to be learned from success stories and failed attempts alike. If half of businesses fail in the first 5 years, what are the other half doing right, and what can entrepreneurs learn from them? Now, here we have a couple of tips on and tricks that and words of wisdom to consider when you're considering kicking off a new venture. The first is bend before you break. Now, as a business owner, and especially as an entrepreneur, you must be adaptable. When leading a business or during the early stages of the unknown, you've got to master the craft of working well during times of constant change. If something can go wrong, it likely will. But if you're able to be fluid, you and your company will avoid wasting time backpedaling and scrambling. Robert Kiyosaki, who's the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, simply explains this notion as, when times are bad is when the real entrepreneurs emerge. A lot of people, just as a sidebar, a lot of people, when we announced that we had to close the shop for this plumbing repair, they were like, oh my God, I can't believe you're going out of business. I said, we're not going out of business. We're just working out of a different location. We had to adapt. We had, you know, even if I had to work out of my garage, if I had to work out of my basement, my dining room, we were not going out of business. You can't close your business for 2 months and expect to reopen and just, you know, pick up the pieces where they were. So yeah, we had to move things. It's costing us a little extra money, a little more money than we wanted to spend, but in the long run, it's going to make us a better company, and we'll be able to work without any, you know, sewer problems that interrupt our day as they had been over the past 6 years. Number two, you want to deny instant gratification and think about the long term. You want to avoid making decisions that provide short-term or ad hoc solutions. You need to think about your business's success 3 or 5 years down the road and build what customers are looking for, not what will be a quick win. In the words of author Seth Godin, the media wants overnight successes so they have someone to tear down. Ignore them. Listen instead to your real customers, to your vision, and make something for the long haul, because that's how long it's going to take. For example, don't hastily create a poorly designed website because you need one in a week. Customers who visit your site and have a negative experience will be turned off by the lack of usability or intuitiveness, and your brand's reputation, potential sales, and customer loyalty will suffer. It takes a lot of work to turn around this type of damage. Number three, you want to cater to your customer. Don't build a business model where the target customer is anyone in the world. Your customers will be the fuel for your business, but you need to first identify who they are and then invest in them heavily. Get to know your customers. Speak to them frequently. Ask questions. Earn their trust and learn their pain points and what they're looking for. Customer satisfaction and loyalty can be the most valuable tool to a brand's longevity. Always keep in mind that it takes 12 positive experiences to make up for one unresolved negative experience. That's a lot. You also want to embrace technology as a helpful tool, not a complicated burden. Now, identifying and deploying the best IT early out of the gate can potentially help your company be leaps and bounds ahead of competitors who don't. Before you deploy an IT strategy, pay attention to tech trends and think through your business, particularly how it affects customers. Envision where you want to be in 3, 5, and 15 years, and then determine what technology tools will allow your business to reach your customers so you're able to scale and grow. Don't implement technology for technology's sake. Do so because it's what's best for your business. And number five, grit and determination in the face of failure will lead to success. As an entrepreneur and leader, you need to become one with perseverance and determination. So consider that the perspective of Max Levchin, who co-founded PayPal. The very first company he started failed with a great bang, he says. The second one failed a little less, but it still failed. And the third one, you know, it proper failed, but it was kind of okay. I recovered quickly. Number four didn't fail. It still didn't really feel great, but it did okay. And number five was PayPal. Some of these points may seem like common sense, but when you're in the trenches making crucial decisions, it's tough to slow down and step back to think about long-term impact. Having these simple guidelines and insight gives you a place to start when the going gets tough. And if you keep those five pieces of advice in mind, you'll be on the right track to join the successful 50%. I also mentioned last week and got a lot of comments on this when talking about the gentleman that I had bought the sign machine from and how his business had failed, and then thinking that I think I mentioned that most businesses fail within the first 3 years. Got a lot of people that when I made the comment of you have to immerse yourself in that business, you have to be all in 7 days a week, 24/7. You got to really jump in and stay in. I thought about this in my 1,500-mile trek this week to North Carolina and back. I thought about it, and while sometimes it's hard to turn it off, every now and then you do have to turn off the business, but I think about my business constantly. I think about other people's businesses if I'm consulting with them constantly. I don't want to not be thinking about it. That doesn't mean that I'm not enjoying the moment, you know, being at the Biltmore the other day and reading about all the rooms and how the house was built and things like that. I loved every minute of it, but that doesn't mean that I take a break and I sit there and say, well, it's 5 o'clock, I'm done. You know, I'll catch up on this in the morning. I'm always thinking about the business, the project I'm working on, something like that. And I usually find that the store owners, the business owners that don't really have that sense, don't know how to market themselves, don't know how to promote themselves. Maybe that's where a lot of these businesses fail early on, because when times get tough, the dollars get pulled from advertising and promotion. I think that's the time when you really have to double down and do a better job. Currently 12:44. When we come back, we're going to talk about what I call the PR cheat sheet, creating a strategy and crafting a press release and then handling the media. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingChamberRadio.com, America's only Chamber of Commerce-owned radio station. It's currently 1248, 72 beautiful degrees here in Flemington, New Jersey. Hope you're having a good day where you are, too. Thanks for everybody checking in across the country, listening in Phoenix, Spokane, Sacramento, Chicago, Boston, and Tallahassee. A new listener down in Tallahassee. So glad you could all join us. Well, no matter how large or small your business is, the key to securing publicity is identifying your target market and then developing a well-thought-out PR campaign. To get your company noticed, you should probably follow the seven steps that I'm about to outline for you. This is called the Ultimate PR Cheat Sheet, and it comes to you free from Taking Care of Business and Hunterdon Chamber Radio. So creating a strategy, crafting a press release, and then handling the media. Number one, you want to write what's called your positioning statement. And this sums up in a few sentences what makes your business different from the competition. You want to list your objectives. What do you hope to achieve for your company through the publicity plan when you put it into action? List your top five goals in order of priority and be specific and always set deadlines. Number three, identify your target customers. Are they male or female? What is their age range? What are their lifestyles, their incomes, their buying habits? Where do they live? You also want to identify your target media. List the newspapers and TV and radio programs in your area that would be appropriate outlets. Make a complete list of the media that you want to target, and then call them and ask them whom you should contact regarding your area of business. Identify the specific reporter or producer who covers your area so that you can contact them directly. Your local library will have media reference books and list contact names and numbers. Make your own media directory listing names, addresses, and telephone and fax numbers. Separate TV, radio, and print sources, but know the beats covered by different reporters so you can be sure you are pitching your ideas to the appropriate person. You also want to develop a story angle. Keeping in mind that the media you're approaching, you want to make a list of story ideas that you can pitch to them. Develop story angles that you'd want to read about or see on TV, and think back to the last story about a company that kept your attention. What angle and interest was in that story and others that caught your eye? Plan a 45-minute brainstorming session with your spouse, a business associate, a friend, or an employee to come up with fresh and new ideas. Number six, you want to make the pitch. Put your thoughts on paper and send them to the reporter in what is known as a pitch letter. Start with a question or an interesting fact that relates to your business to the target medium's audience. For instance, if you were writing for a magazine aimed at older people, you could start off, "Did you know that more than half of all women over 50 haven't begun saving for retirement?" And they lead into your pitch. As a certified financial planner, I can offer your readers 10 tips to start them on the road to a financially comfortable retirement. Make your letter no longer than one page and include your telephone number and email address so the reporter can contact you. If appropriate, include a press release with your letter. Be sure to include your positioning statement at the end of any correspondence or press release that you send. And number seven, this is probably the most important of all, you need to follow up. Following up is the key to securing coverage. You need to wait about 4 to 6 days after you've sent the information and then follow up your pitch letter with a telephone call. If you leave a message on voicemail and the reporter doesn't call you back, call again until you get them on the phone. Don't leave a second message within 5 days of the first. If the reporter requests additional information, send it immediately and then follow up to confirm receipt. Now, with press releases, you need to think of a press release as your ticket to publicity, one that can get your company coverage in all kinds of publications or on TV and radio stations. Editors and reporters get hundreds of press releases a day. So how do you make yours stand out? Well, first, you have to be sure that you have a good reason for sending a press release. A grand opening, a new product, a record-setting sales year, a new location, or a special event are all good reasons. Second, make sure your press release is appropriately targeted for the publication or broadcast you're sending it to. Now, that sounds obvious, but many entrepreneurs make the mistake of sending press releases at random without considering a public's audience. To ensure readability, your press release should follow the standard format: type, double-spaced, on white letterhead, with the contact person's name, title, company, address, and phone number in the upper right-hand corner. Below this information, put a brief eye-catching headline in bold type. A dateline, for example. Los Angeles, California, August 10th, 2015, follows leading into the first sentence of the release. Limit your press release to one or two pages. It should be just long enough to cover the six basic elements of who, what, when, where, why, and how. The answers to these six questions should be mentioned in order of their importance to the story to save the editor both time and space. You also don't want to embellish or hype the information. Remember, you are not writing the article. You are merely presenting the information and showing why it is relevant to that publication in hopes that they will write about it. Pay close attention to grammar and spelling. Competition for publicity is intense, and a press release full of typos or errors is more likely to get tossed aside. Some business owners use attention-getting gimmicks to get their press releases noticed. In most cases, this is a waste of money. If your release is well-written and relevant, you don't need singing telegrams or a bouquet of flowers to get your message across, and most reporters won't take such shenanigans seriously. Now, if you have to talk to the media, once you reach the reporter on the phone, remember that they're extremely busy and probably on a deadline, so you want to be courteous and ask if they have the time to talk. If not, offer to call back at a more convenient time. If the reporter can talk to you, keep your initial pitch to about 20 seconds, and afterward, offer to send written information to support your story ideas. The following tips will boost your chances of success. If a reporter rejects your idea, ask if they can recommend someone else who might be interested. Know exactly what you're going to say before you telephone the reporter. Have it written down in front of you, and it's easier, and you'll feel more confident. You also want to be persistent. Remember, not everyone will be interested. If your story idea is turned down, try to find out why, and then use that information to improve your next pitch. You also don't want to be a pest. You can easily be persistent without being annoying. Use your instincts. If the reporter sounds rushed, offer to call back. Daily newspaper reporters face deadlines in the early afternoon. It's best to call between 2:30 p.m. and 5:30 p.m. Be helpful and become a resource by providing reporters with information. Remember, they need your story ideas. There are also so many, there are only so many that they can come up with on their own. And most importantly, and this is one that often gets overlooked, say thank you. When you succeed in getting publicity for your business, always write a thank you note to the reporter who worked on it with you. You'd be surprised how much a note means and how few of these reporters actually receive them, but the next time you need to get some publicity or a press release in the paper, chances are they're going to remember that note and want to help you again. So some great suggestions and ideas there on how to handle the media, how to handle press releases, and hopefully, and another thing that you should be doing is probably once a quarter sending out some form of a press release, whether, again, whether it's you've achieved a certain sales goal, you've established a new account that's going to, you know, help you grow your business. We just had some great press a couple of weeks ago because we took part in the 100 and Central Work Readiness Program, and we didn't submit the article. All of a sudden, I saw my picture in the paper, and we were like, wow, that's awesome. But, you know, make sure that if you have something to say, say it and get it out there so that people get to know you a little bit better. You know, one of the things we've talked about in this program several times is how people want to engage with businesses, not just be transactional. So make sure that you're letting people know a little bit more about who you are, where you are, and what you do, but more about who you are. Once they connect with you, and you heard the sentence earlier where it takes 12 positive impressions with a person to make up for one negative, once they get to know you, once they understand you, once they know you're trying to work, you know, for their behalf, it'll be more likely that they'll want to do business with you in the future as well. In sports, the racing community was saddened this weekend to learn that IndyCar driver Justin Wilson was killed after being struck by debris from another car's crash Sunday at Pocono Speedway in Long Pond, Pennsylvania. Wilson was 37 years old and leaves behind a wife and two children. A special thank you goes out to Tony Stewart for donating his private plane to Wilson's brother so he could be with him at the hospital after being airlifted to Lehigh Valley Medical Center in Allentown, Pennsylvania, where he succumbed to his injuries on Monday. In NASCAR news, Joey Logano won last week's race at Bristol Motor Speedway. The teams have a week off before heading to Darlington, the track too tough to tame, next week. In Major League Baseball, the Toronto Blue Jays, Kansas City Royals, Houston Astros lead their divisions in the American League, while the Mets, Cardinals, and Dodgers lead their divisions in the National League. In the NFL, the preseason is underway, and there is a call for a two-week preseason from players and agents to minimize injuries. And in the NCAA college football, the preseason top 25 poll is out, and it looks like this for the top five: Ohio State leading the field, followed by TCU, Alabama, Baylor, and Michigan State. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well, when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best." If you have ideas for an upcoming programming topic or guest, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I'll be taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. WDBJ held a moment of silence today to remember Allison Parker and Adam Ward, the two TV journalists shot dead yesterday by a former coworker during a live broadcast. Station manager Jeffrey Marks told Fox News the staff is doing their job while grieving.
My greatest concern is about the news team, and they're doing a marvelous job of holding it together, doing their regular broadcast, choking back some emotion, but doing what needs to be done.
Meanwhile, the woman who was interviewed during the shooting, Vicki Gardner, is recovering in the hospital.
I'm told she's doing better. They're preparing to go in and do some more repairs on her abdomen today.
That was Tim Gardner on NBC's Today Show. The killer, Vester Flanagan, posted a video of the killings online before he shot and killed himself. He issued an angry manifesto claiming discrimination and outrage over the June church shootings in Charleston. This is USA Headline News.
It's here. Kohl's lowest prices of the season. Save